Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WPR Rebuttal. I'm your host, Senator JPO. This is the episode for July 15th, 2016. Our call number is 929-477-3965. And today we return to the topic of the final UW system SAGLA Liberal Arts Scholarship Essay, or LASE, competition. And my first review of the essays was actually on July 1st. I had intended to cover the three winners in one episode and then the three runner-ups in another, but I just ran out of time because on July 1st, I went over the rules for about 7-8 minutes, as well as speculated on the cost of administration based on reasonable assumptions about how much it costs in labor for the SAGLA panelists to go and winnow all these applications, as well as for the campus officials at every campus in UW. So you had 13 two-year schools in the UW colleges, and you had, I want to say, easily over a dozen four-year campuses, 14 four-year campuses, rather. So you just have a lot of officials getting paid to push paper and make potentially snap judgments on who to refer for the winners. But the bottom line is that even if nepotism was involved at all, any brown nosing by the students to supplement their rhetorical abilities and their writing skills, well, that has come to an end because this is the final ever SAGLA scholarship, and reasons for that are probably just because the public relations effect of announcing the winners of this competition, of getting so many students to write in like willing lemmings to go and sing the praises of a liberal arts education without having opportunity to test it in the real world, of course, as to how it helps some gain economic power, which in many cases, like in Joel Oler's case, it doesn't. So that's modern tragedy, and we have to go and find ways to ensure UW system is doing right by its graduates. I mean, if it is admitting people to whatever campus, it could be the worst campus in the UW, UW mediocre, let's call it, okay? But still, as a UW branch, so it should confer enough of an oomph, of a boost, of a premium to one's selling power in the labor market to really drive home a tangible wage premium. But unfortunately, the UW system is too tepid, too scared, too cowardly to go out and measure that. So I already have one petition up, and that's at the federal level. I'm working on an analog petition, an analogous measure at the state level that would address general purpose revenue and tie that GPR to the occupational outcomes of recent graduates from every UW campus. So with that baseline addressed, so on July 1st, I reviewed the essay of a winner. His name was Kevin Lyndon Veloso. And today I'm going to actually not review another winner, but a runner-up, just because I found it really easy to deconstruct her arguments. Like, if she was a runner-up who was actually named in a press release, I have to wonder about all the entries who weren't mentioned, because this is just almost pitiful how easy it is to take down her arguments. But not to be rude, but you'll see it, or rather you'll hear it once we get into the excerpts from her essay. But okay, so this Olivia DeValk, who is a runner-up in the liberal arts scholarship essay, begins by calling out some dude named Jason Adrians. Okay, so I had to look him up, because who is Jason Adrians, and why is Olivia DeValk addressing him as having been a student at UW-Eau Claire? And that doesn't add up, and she's writing way out of context, so I can see why the UW system doctor points, because, okay, the Volk does not indicate what Adrian said. She just goes right out and says, hey, Jason Adrian, I disagree with you, and I'm going to talk about stuff that should resonate when you were a student at UW-Eau Claire. She doesn't say, well, I'm responding to your op-ed in such and such paper, or I'm writing in response to what you said at commencement. There's zero context. I mean, come on, Olivia. Yeah, that's something you could have done much better. But no, you're probably rushed like anyone else in college. You know, most people are rushed. They spread themselves too thin. So when they do something, they just because of the opportunity cost, doing anything, even sleeping has an opportunity cost. Well, sometimes the outcomes are mediocre, but I'm just talking about that. In terms of job search outcomes, you can spend a hellacious amount of time and still have not just mediocre, but fruitless, or what I prefer to call nowadays, acarpus results. But anyway, okay, so who is Jason Adrians? Well, I did some internet research, and it turns out that he graduated from Eau Claire in 1999 with a bachelor's in journalism and mass communications. So it took Mr. Adrians 5 years to get from degree conferral when he walked the stage to actually working in his field. And he was an assistant sports editor as of 2004 for Wisconsin State Journal. And since then, he was able to navigate his way up. He would work for the Post Crescent in Wyoming, and then he returned to, I want to say, the Fox Valley area. And, yeah, because I actually have his dossier up. So here, I'm bringing up the notes. I can read directly from the press release. So this is about Jason Adrians, 99. Eau Claire alumnus, and okay, so Casper, Wyoming, beginning from November 2013 through, oh, what's the date in this article? Okay, November 2013 through June 2015, Jason Adrians was the editor of the Casper Star Tribune over in Wyoming, and then he had an itch to return to Wisconsin, which probably because of family. If it weren't for family, I don't see why he'd want to return to Wisconsin. I mean, it's not like he relies upon the manufacturing base we have here. That's a very good thing about Wisconsin. We have a strong manufacturing base. We were consistently amongst the top two, along with Indiana. And we, bar none, have the lowest workers' compensation rates. And I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. I'm actually referencing the Department of Workforce Development's official workers' compensation rates that it shares with OSHA. So this is some serious stuff and a great feather in the cap of Wisconsin. So just think about that before you go and criticize Wisconsin too much, even though we are somewhat of an agricultural-leaning, almost Reconstruction-era economy in some respects. But anyway, so why did Jason Adrians come back to Wisconsin? Well, so he could be the editor of what's the name of it here? Oh, actually not the editor. He returned to Wisconsin to be the vice president of Gannett Wisconsin Media, so GWM. And now the vice president, this is a poorly written press release. Okay, so vice president of Gannett Wisconsin Media is some guy named Joel Christopher, and he was announcing about Jason Adrians, so they're not clear. Jason Adrians has some position or another in the Gannett Wisconsin Media, GWM. I'm sure he's like a, if not mid-level director, he's probably like in the C-suite now. But the bottom line is it took him 5 freaking years to get from his degree conferral into his field. And there's no mention of what he did. So I imagine he was doing retail or fast food. God forbid, I did fast food after getting my bloody master's degree, and then the damn place closed. Yeah, so I've been palletizing ever since. But the bottom line is that if Olivia DeVolk was trying to pick an opponent in this culture war of liberal arts education sucks versus, well, it has some value. You know, if you're going to pick a foil for yourself, DeValk, if she had been aware of me, I'm sure that she would have picked me instead of Jason Adrians. I mean, Adrians might be more, might be higher profile because of his media reach, but man, I am definitely more passionately opposed to liberal arts because I got to tell you, 6 years after earning my master's degree, as opposed to Mr. Adrian's mere bachelor's, you know, 6 years after a fact, as opposed to his 5 years, I'm not even in any professional field. I'm palletizing through a temp agency, and it's not temp to hire either. It's just a indefinitely temporary contract. So, and the reason I stay on with that is because they keep on giving me a wage, which I had to negotiate, mind you. I had to be my union of one-man negotiation team. But, well, I got some help from a temp agency, and I had to sick them on the job client just because it's just like, well, annual cost of living adjustment, and I had flawless performance, and I had perfect attendance. You know, perfect attendance every stinking weekend, and I do work every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. If you want to know my hours, how early I get up at 5 a.m., and I choose to, you know. So I guess, okay, I have the luxury of choice to choose to get up at 5 a.m. so I can earn this $13 an hour and then get out of work by around 2 o'clock. You know, sometimes we'll go over to 3 o'clock depending on how much there is to do. But the bottom line is that I am doing well in manual unskilled labor, okay, despite being tied up in a liberal arts education for many years prior. Like, this is a minor miracle that I'm even working at all for above 10 an hour because it was just such a disastrous misallocation of resources, this stupid liberal arts education. Okay, so back to Lydia DeValk's essay. So she was a sophomore at UW-Stevens Point, and I tried to find her email address and notified her that I was going to review her essay, but Stevens Point does not have an open directory. So that's just their loss if they are not going to make it easy to communicate with their students. I guess maybe DeValk doesn't want to face any criticism, which, hey, that she wants to fit the millennial stereotype, but I'm an older millennial, and I really don't fit the millennial stereotype. I mean, I'll welcome your criticism, and I'll see what I can go and rebuff. I'll see what I can go and counter-argue, and I'll see where we have common ground. I'm not afraid of criticism, and I enjoy a good discussion, civil debate. And, I'll take it as far as we can go to cover all the ground we have to. But too many of these so-called winners of these Potemkin contests is why I call them, because ultimately you get a small stipend that takes a small dent out of your tuition, but it doesn't really help you in the long run. That's why I call them Potemkin contests, because they're really frivolous in the end. But what is it? It kind of reminds me, I'm just going to do a time warp here, because on LinkedIn, some older acquaintances have actually requested me, and I'm pleasantly surprised, actually. I thought maybe they would have forgotten about me, that I'd just be, you know, a ghost or something. But no, I mean, they saw me on LinkedIn, but I guess my higher education activism put me back in their radar, and then they added me. So that's flattering. But it brings to mind when I was graduating high school. Oh, my goodness, this must be 14 years ago, but yeah, and the Daily News, yeah, it's West Bend Daily News before they were Washington County Daily News, but they every year they have a spread of scholarship winners. I remember that I was so blooming bad at time management that I could not get any scholarship applications in on time, so, you know, I mean, people were surprised, like, oh, Joe, I always thought you were so smart, but you're not amongst the scholarship winners. And, you know, here's some people who are kind of like, I mean, not necessarily the best known or most outspoken, but, you know, some people won multiple scholarships. And I was thinking, well, you know, if I had managed to put in a decent application on time, then maybe one of those multiple winners would just have won a single scholarship, and I would have gotten one of the ones that they would had won instead. But whatever. I got over that pretty quickly just because I never saw most of the people again after that because of various reasons. The primary reason was because I went to community college for 2 years, whereas most of them just went off to a four-year college right away. And I should have stopped at the community college because when I went to a four-year college, I started a sour in higher education, and I did my best to put on a good face and, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do to succeed. But we all know how that turned out, right? Unskilled manual labor, indefinite temp contract, had to negotiate his raises because they weren't going to give him any despite perfect attendance and false performance. But so that's the context from which I'm opposing Olivia DeVolk. I was unable to find any statement, op-ed, or quotation by Jason Adrians against the liberal arts. So I'm putting in for Jason Adrians, okay? I'm the one who's opposing Olivia DeVolk, and just imagine if you're reading Olivia's essay, instead of Dear Jason Adrians, you can say Dear Senator JPO. Instead of when you were a student at UW-Eau Claire, you can say when you were a student at UW-Milwaukee. And you'll have the same type of dynamic, except much more intense, because unlike Mr. Adrian, who's busy with the responsibilities and the perks of his executive position, I'm a workaday day laborer, and you know I'm intelligent enough to articulate an idea in coherent fashion and to go and compare and contrast and even use some mathematics to back up my suppositions, as I did on July 1st about the administrative costs of this now defunct LASE competition. So moving on to Olivia's essay. She was a sophomore at UW Stevens Point, not saying where she's going to transfer because Stevens Point is a four-year school. I presume the Volk is going to stay on at Stevens Point. So majoring in English education with a Spanish minor. Well, if she's not going to be an English teacher or a Spanish teacher, I mean, I see where that could present her with many problems because, you know, she's still naive enough, which I presume because there's no mention of her being a non-traditional student. Like Kevin Veloso was a non-traditional student, and he said so in his essay. Because, you know, dropping these key phrases like, oh, you know, I'm of a minority religion, or I'm a foreign student, or I'm a non-traditional student, like age-wise. I mean, those give you brownie points in the scholarship competitions. They do. That's just what the UW system does. They reward you based partially just on identity, irrespective of where your identity as an individual has any merit. They reward you brownie points for group identity. So whatever. But so I presume this Olivia DeVolk character is not even 22. It's not even mid-20s. She's probably more like 20, 21 if she was a sophomore and is now becoming a junior. So she's not had much time, if any. I mean, she doesn't even have her degree yet. So how can she say her degree is worthwhile if she doesn't have the damn degree to even sell along her name on a resume? I mean, come on. So this inexperienced Olivia DeVolk is going on in her essay, and I've just been hammering her nonstop, and we haven't even gotten past the first paragraph yet. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. Well, hey, this is WPR Rebuttal. If you want to call in, it's 929-477-3965. I haven't done a commercial break in a while, so I'm going to run one right now, but I'll be right back with you on the flip side.
There it is, a galvanizing treat for you and yours. Mildly sweet, with a firm and gentle texture. Airheads are a candy that I frequently buy. Airheads, they have a taste that is out of control. Dollar General is a ZSYY stock on snacks, soda, sundries, and seasonal items. Staff are friendly and efficient, serving an impressive amount of customers. Dollar General, when you see it in black and yellow, you have a reason to feel the metal. Aldi has been an American tradition since 1976. Remain true to its roots as all-red discount. Today's Aldi provides affordable groceries with a convenient taste. Aldi, healthy food at healthy prices.
Okay, so right away, Olivia the Bulk admits she used to believe that the classes outside her major during her appointments. Well, I would say the classes in her major are also going to confer very little wage premium. So what I've been saying about underemployed graduates and people hating and regretting the liberal arts education and just believing the UW system is a bunch of con men and pitch women, well, it's even true. I mean, you're hearing it from the horse's mouth in terms of this Olivia DeVolk runner-up to this scholarship competition. I mean, she says in her essay, "Here at Stevens Point, I often hear students complaining that classes outside her major are boring or pointless." Okay, so she not only says that she hears students say their classes are boring and pointless, she says she often hears them complain about the irrelevance of the classes. Many of them are required, general education requirements, and it's just the evidence is mounting, okay? My goal with my petitions, okay, one at the federal level, one at the state level, is to move beyond this mere anecdotal evidence and quantify it. Quantify how many students and graduates are suffering because their UW system education means jack squid, to use a euphemism. Okay, so Olivia DeVolk goes on. "My story starts on a hot spring day while I was on my way to Stevens Point, my freshman orientation. I heard of a liberal education offered, but at the time preferred to refer it as a waste of time and money." Okay, Olivia DeVolk, you know, if you thought it was a waste of time and money, why the duck with a D to avoid the fine from the FCC? Did you even go to a university, huh? Why not MATC, Madison area and Milwaukee area, technical college, huh? Why not any of the schools within the WTC, Wisconsin Technical College system, huh? I mean, come on. You weren't even thinking for yourself, Olivia, so shame on you. You shouldn't have even been mentioned as a runner-up because you're not using critical thinking. You're just doing what you're told. And, I mean, a lot of people are guilty of that when they're younger, okay, because they see cherry-picked examples of success. And they're highlighted and lionized and praised for following the system, whether that means a liberal arts education or whatnot. But they don't see the countless failures who did the same damned things, but their results were much, much less desirable. And, you know, it's just these other examples that might be more numerous. These failures to launch, as they're called, might be more numerous than the successes, but they're swept under the rug. They're ignored. It's like 1984. It's an Orwellian omission, this Orwellian omission of the failures to launch from the whole dialectical narrative of, you know, how good or how worthwhile for your career, okay, is the liberal arts education. So that's the premise, okay, of my tirade against higher education, particularly the liberal arts versus these supporters of the liberal arts. And, you know, I mean, every single person who's actually ever reviewing was bribed to say that they like the liberal arts. I'm not bribed. I'm just dissatisfied, and I've been dissatisfied for years, and I've been speaking for years now as to why the youth should just boycott UW system until it shapes up. And so basically the rest of Olivia's essay is just like kind of trivial details about, you know, how, you know, she was in gym class, and then she got used to it, and then, you know, she was enjoying Thanksgiving, but then she went to a Native American history course, and then she had this white guilt, you know, trying to suck up to UW, you know, and try to portray herself as a good lemming liberal, you know. So, ugh. And then she's trying to say, oh, okay, this reminds me of when I was in a literature course in high school. And right away, the teacher is trying to go and make excuses as to why, you know, beyond being required to complete a literature course, why are we even bothering to read works of fiction, right? They aren't even that entertaining. They're not fun to read. And they, I mean, you have to write an essay about, you know, what it is. I mean, essentially it's textual analysis. That's what the literature courses are, even if they don't call them that. That's precisely what it is. You go, it's an exegesis. And if you use historical references to inform your understanding, then it's an historicist reading, okay? I know my literary terms here, but that's what it boils down to. So essentially, Livia DeVolk is too ignorant, though, of that to even say terms such as exegesis or historicism. I mean, come on, Olivia. If you're going to talk about the putative benefits that you have of your liberal arts education, at least use the appropriate jargon, okay, to show that you know the signs and shibboleths. I mean, you're going to have a rough time in the job market, crying out loud. I mean, it's possible that you could hear my podcast and then decide to go and transfer to like a trade school or something, or just to drop out entirely and work full time at some unskilled position and work your way up, and then maybe you know, see where you can go from there. But you're just wasting your time and money. You're wasting your time, tiers, and tuition. The three T's I call it. Time, tiers, and tuition. You hear it first on WPR Rebuttal. But so yeah, just to wrap up Olivia's essay. So she enjoys reading fiction now, which ain't going to help her a damn in the job search. But okay, I guess, you know, if you're from a rich family, you can go and read fiction. Me, I sent her JPO read nonfiction, because fiction just is a distraction. I read nonfiction to see what I can apply to my life and to try to get a leg up in life, you know. And it's kind of helped, I mean, the nonfiction, but self-directed nonfiction. So liberal arts education did not help me at all. I've been a reader of nonfiction since I've been reading the newspaper in grade school. And that ain't liberal arts. That's just being an informed citizen and using common sense to know what's going on around you. Sheesh. Liberal arts education had zero role in the constructive development of JPO. And I tell you, this Olivia DeVolk character is really unable to articulate exactly why she likes it, other than, oh, well, it allows me to have more fun and feel like I'm smarter than our people. Man, I usually don't swear at people, but man, if there were any one scholarship entrant who I would swear at, that'd be Olivia. Damn, what a disgrace. What a disgusting essay. I mean, it's a piece of trash, and the UW system was just giving her lip service, because, you know, she's like, oh, you know, the whole white guilt thing. I mean, she doesn't come out directly and say it, but she implies, well, the whole angle of the Native American course remind me why I, Olivia, would not want to be a history major. I mean, come on. Sheesh. Yeah, you like fiction. You like to bury your head in denial, Olivia. So at any rate, the next, in denial of the poor value of your education. Yeah, that'll be your personal history, I'm sure. Okay, next podcast will actually be Friday, July 22nd. See you then.